Hello, this is J.D. Mitchell with another short program on a creation science or biblical apologetics subject. This topic is homology and cladistics. Thanks for clicking to listen to this talk. So what is homology? Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary describes homology as, quote, a similarity often attributable to common origin or likeness in structure between parts of different organisms due to evolutionary differentiation from the same or a corresponding part of a remote ancestor, unquote. The Oxford Dictionary of Science defines homologous as follows, quote, describing features of organisms that have the same evolutionary origin but have developed different functions. For example, the wings of a bat, the flippers of a dolphin, and the arms of a man are homologous organs, having evolved from the paired pectoral fins of a fish ancestor, unquote. From these dictionary definitions, we can see the assumption of the fact of evolution and the assumption of the fact of homologous features. Evolutionists say that life has developed from a common ancestors over long periods of time. Evolutionists say that homology proves that evolution is true. As with the assumptions regarding the fossil record, millions of years, and the geologic column, here again is an example of circular reasoning. In other words, evolutionists are using this to prove that, while at the same time using that to prove this. This way of thinking is circular reasoning, which is false logic. In this instance, evolutionists say that homology is determined by ancestry, and also at the same time, that homology is evidence of ancestry. Put another way, evolutionists say you have arms because you evolved from an ancestor with arm-like appendages, and at the same time, that since you have arms, it proves that there must have been an ancestor with arm-like appendages from which you evolved. This is not logical thinking, it is circular thinking. Homology studies depend on physical similarities in plants and in animals. Evolutionists say that these similarities prove ancestral relationships, but they ignore what I believe to be the more logical conclusion that these similarities exist because of intelligent design. Evolutionists have belief in a process never seen in the present or in the past, that is, one kind evolving into another kind. On the other hand, a belief based on the Bible and real-world evidence is one that looks at the complexities of living things and assumes that they were designed and made just as simpler things were, which humans were able to design. Of course, this designer with a capital D of living things would need to have immensely greater intelligence, power, and ability compared to humans. This designer with a capital D could decide to make creatures with similar designs for the same or similar reasons that automobile engines from competing companies end up with similar designs depending on the function required for the vehicle they are designing and the materials which are available for the task. It is clear that this designer, with a capital D, would need to have supernatural capabilities, but we should be able to see design in his creations just as we are able to see design in human creations. Every person on earth has seen similarities in structure. It is usually obvious that the structure similarities are due to the purposes that they must fulfill. Chevrolet and Ford automobiles are more alike than Chevrolets and yachts or Chevrolets and airplanes. Automobiles have many features in common because they were all designed to travel on roads propelled by engines. Sailboats look alike because they were designed to travel by wind power upon water surfaces. Airplanes look alike because they all must fly through the air. And in each and every case we see, we can verify that the designs of manufactured things are accomplished by intelligent human beings. As an engineer, I soon learned that designing and constructing structures, machines, and manufactured products is a very difficult proposition. The second law of thermodynamics results in serious friction problems in machines and poor efficiencies in engines. Gravity, the forces of nature, and other unforeseen issues cause structures to crumble and fall. Corrosion and weather cause fatal deterioration of the best creations. Yet evolutionists explain the natural world as the result of everything from nothing for no reason from the random interactions of matter over long periods of time. This just does not match up to my engineering education, experience, or to common sense. What about cladistics? What is cladistics, and why is it important for us to understand this relatively new field of study? Cladistics is a system used to classify the supposed evolutionary relationships between life forms as determined by the study of their homologies. Here follows a formal definition from the Oxford Dictionary of Science. Quote, cladistics, a controversial method of classification in which animals and plants are placed into taxonomic groups called clades when they share characteristics known as homologies that are thought to indicate common ancestry. It is based on the assumption that two new species are formed suddenly by splitting from a common ancestor and not by gradual evolutionary change. A diagram indicating these relationships, called a cladogram, therefore consists of dichotomous branches. Each point of branching represents divergence from a common ancestor shown on the diagram, unquote. So cladistics seems to have been devised in order to allow the classification through homologies of life forms where the living or fossilized evidence does not show common ancestry, but where it has been presumed. Cladograms can be drawn up for the classification of most anything, including toys, tools, dolls, office supplies, and coins. In fact, it works quite well for things which we know do not exist because of common ancestry. Cladograms for things can be logical or not, and so I highly question its applicability to life forms totally on the presumption that homologies prove common ancestry and therefore macroevolution. I submit that cladistics with its cladograms is mostly an attempt to snow the unwary into accepting evolution as a fact when it is not a fact. I believe that paleontologists who use cladistics are merely participating in an exercise of pseudoscience. Here is a quote from secular paleontologist Jack Horner that I believe supports my position. Quote, a new classification system called cladistics attempts to do away with the ranks of kingdom, phylum, and so forth. Instead, it organizes plants and animals by how closely they are related to one another, based on characteristics acquired through evolution, unquote. Do you see in Horner's statement that I just read his presuppositions of evolution, common ancestry, and homology? The long-used Linnaean taxonomy system, which is being intentionally supplanted by cladistics, originally was devised in order to classify animals and plants according to their suspected biblical created kinds. The Linnaean system has not proven satisfactory for showing macroevolution, especially in dinosaurs. Thus, evolutionists have had to devise this new system of cladistics that they can manipulate to seem to show evolution when none exists in reality. Here's another quote from a book that describes the use of cladistics in order to determine how to redisplay dinosaur skeletons in the American Museum of Natural History in New York City. Quote, those expecting a typical display of ancient animals, centered on a step-by-step journey through the history of life on Earth, from the earliest to the most recent, are in for a surprise. The first decision we had to make was whether to use a traditional walk through time or to base the design on evolutionary relationships, says Lowell Dingus, director of the renovation project. We decided that since the research here at the Department of Vertebrate Paleontology places heavy emphasis on systematic relationships, we moved in that direction. And the quote continues, the emphasis Dingus is talking about is called cladistics, and for many biologists and paleontologists, it represents the clearest method of studying the evolution of life over the course of millions of years. Simply put, while traditional evolutionary theories put tremendous stock in when an animal lived, cladistic analysis is far more concerned about an animal's physical characteristics, unquote. This cladistic forced type of analysis is also what secular natural history museums as a whole are moving toward for their interpretations and displays. At the American Museum of Natural History, we see that they say they no longer want to show a step-by-step journey through the history of the life of Earth. However, that is exactly what evolutionists will say the museum displays do show. That is, secular natural history museums are attempting to demonstrate to the public that evolutionary descent from a common ancestor over long periods of time is a proven fact. If there is no evidence for gradual descent, then they reason that there must have been a punctuated or rapid change in spurts throughout millions of years. This, of course, is an argument from a total lack of evidence. It is just evolution-driven wishful thinking. I think this mixed message is a great indication that many evolutionary paleontologists know that common descent is a concept that must be taken wholly on faith. Here's what Dr. Peter Dodson had to say about this. Quote, "The results are presented as a cladogram, a branch diagram that arrays taxa from the most generalized basal taxa to the most highly derived. Cladograms never specify ancestor-descendant relationships. This highly prized goal is regarded as unattainable. A closely linked pair of taxa is said to constitute a sister group. The authorized conservative inference is that members of such a pair of taxa are more closely related to each other than either taxon is to a third one. This cautious statement lends itself nicely to paleontology, where the record is notoriously incomplete." Unquote. This Dodson quotation is very enlightening. Notice that, quote, "cladograms never specify ancestor-descendant relationships," unquote. Yet a cladogram is a diagram that arrays taxa from the most generalized taxa to the most highly derived, unquote. And the inference is that members of such a pair of taxa are more closely related to each other than either taxa is to a third one. This seems to me to be a complicated way of saying that the fossils in the rock record do not indicate taxonomic relationships through discovered transitional forms, but the presupposition of evolution from generalized to derived life forms must nevertheless prevail, no matter what the evidence shows. Finally, here's a quote from Wu and Russell, a couple of other dinosaur paleontologists. Quote, "Furthermore, phylogenetic trees, cladograms, are not facts, but hypotheses that suggest probable patterns of evolutionary events and may change with our increasing understanding of organisms. In a real sense, cladograms are merely a graphic depiction of the most parsimonious summary of character state distribution." Unquote. Obviously, there's no way to falsify this type of phylogenetic classifying system, and so the scientific method cannot be applied to it. I submit that cladistics is not scientific, but rather is completely philosophical. So even though evolutionary paleontologists admit that cladograms are not facts but hypotheses, the intention, stated or not, is to try to convince themselves and others to believe that cladograms represent evolutionary relationships through homology. Well, thank you for your attention. For more on homology and cladistics, see my books, The Creation Dialogues, Discovering the Animals of Ancient Oregon, and Guidebook to North American Dinosaurs, According to Created Kinds.